Thank you, Pastor. I'm not sure if that introduction made me more calm or a little more nervous. Pray with me as we invite the Holy Spirit to worship here with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the blessings that you give to us every day. We thank you for the grace that you give to us every day also. Lord, we ask and pray that your Spirit dwell among us this morning. Open our hearts, open our minds, give us the understanding to take what you're bringing to us this morning that we can use and apply in our everyday lives, that we may be able to touch others around us, show the love that you have for us, and inevitably, Lord, make that day that you're coming to take us home a lot sooner. These things we pray in your precious and holy name. Amen. If you can see in the bulletin, the title of the sermon this morning is What If? It's probably a question that each of us have asked ourselves sometime or another in our lives. From a young age, I'm sure some of the young kids have asked that, all the way to the oldest person here might have asked that. What if? If we could have changed a lot of things with that one question in our lives, how much more? Or where would the Lord have been able to take us? I'd like to share a story with you of a student in college. And I know there's a lot of college graduates here who have probably come across this dilemma at one time when you're first going to college, your first year, and it might be even bothering some of the kids that are just getting ready to enter college right now. Which way should I go? What am I going to take as a major? What am I going to do in life? And that question always plagues just about everybody who goes to college. I would say not everybody, but most. This particular student that was in college back in about the mid-70s had that dilemma and thought, what is he going to do? So he decided to take physical therapy. Switched it to nursing, then finally came across to where he ended up wanting to be a physical education teacher and coach young kids and teach young kids. When he made that decision, the Lord opened the door so quickly for him. The decision was made probably just before the next school year was to start, about 3 weeks or so. And at that point, when a fellow student who was now teaching at an academy that he had attended thought this guy would be a good physical education teacher. And the Lord opened the door to where normally you'd have to wait a period before you could get a student teaching opportunity. And the door was open rather quickly to where he was going to be able to student teach at that academy that he had gone to academy. And so for 3 weeks, knowing 3 weeks before the school year was to begin, some of you are teachers here, know that 3 weeks is not even enough time to prepare for a whole curriculum to teach first grade all the way to eighth grade. A full schedule. All day would be teaching from first grade to eighth grade. Physical education doesn't seem that it would be that difficult of a job, but yet not having gotten into his education classes, not gotten into his major classes quite at all, it was quite intimidating. The first week he went through teaching with the advice of every teacher that stood there watching him, giving him advice, you should teach this, you should teach it this way, was even more intimidating. And second week just about was the same, and the pressure just continually kept mounting. The third week, this particular person decided, wow, this is a lot of pressure. I don't think I can do this. And actually went to the administration and let them know, not going to be able to do this. And withdrew his opportunity to go through that door that the Lord had opened for him. and told him he wasn't going to teach and backed out of it and eventually even dropped out of school and went to work. There's a story in the Bible also, but before I go there, the question again arises, what if that young man had continued on and it plagued him for a number of years? That what if he had continued? What if he was able to teach and finish and actually graduate as a physical education teacher? How could the Lord have used him? So that question plagued this young man for quite a number of years. But there's also another story in the Bible. It's not the most popular story. It's a story that everybody can pretty much relate to. It's a story that's not told too often. We know all of it, and that's a story of Samson. Samson was, from birth, before birth, had been chosen by God. Was told to his parents by an angel that they would have a son. And the Lord had him in mind to begin the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines' oppression. In his early life, Samson, we all know the story. He was a strong, he was gifted with the strength from the Lord. They had given him special instructions not to cut his hair, for that was where the strength lied. But we all know that the strength basically came from the Lord himself. But it was a sign of obedience for them, the vow that he had taken never to take a razor to his head. And in his first, in the beginning of his life, as a young man, I think Samson lived his life rather carelessly, not totally relying on the Lord's dependence, but yet believing that the strength that he had was what was carrying him. And we all know the story and the different episodes that happened in his life, all the way up to the point where he had was infatuated with a young lady in the Philistine camp named Delilah. Now, his infatuation with Delilah was the beginning of his actual downfall, his demise. But yet, even in that, he did carry out God's calling to him, regardless of how he had lived his life before that, which is proof that God can use someone, a man of faith, in spite of how imperfectly he had lived his life or how we live our lives. God can still use us in a big way. If you would turn with me in Hebrews, which was Hebrews 11, 1-3, which was our scripture this morning. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Samson's life was one of those that sometimes we think that, how could this guy have given up his God-given gift? How could he have fallen to the deceptive ways of Delilah, trying to, in collaboration with the Philistine rulers, who once they found out about the affair that they had, that we need to find out the basis of his strength. Now, Samson had been judge over Israel, so God was using him, but yet, what if Samson had allowed God to use him fully, rather than just, he was using him. He was a judge over Israel, administering justice, and gained what was promised. In fact, Samson's calling from birth again, was the beginning of the deliverance of Israel from the Philistine oppression. If we would read the accounts totally of his story, we would know that the downfall was with Delilah, but you might tend to think that Sam wasted his life, that he was a failure. Yet, even still, he accomplished his God-assigned mission. How many of us sometimes feel like we're failures in some of the things that we do, in some of the directions that we have taken? And again, we ask that question, what if we had followed the Lord from the beginning and his counsel and his guidance? How would we have been able to serve the Lord so much more adequately? How we might think as a church even that maybe the Lord would have already come. In fact, in the Old Testament, it lists Samson in this chapter of Hebrews 11 that it doesn't list Samson's failures, nor does it list his acts or his acts of strength, great strength. Doesn't mention any of those things. They didn't really matter. Hebrews, it lists Samson among the hall of faith, among those who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. And among those people that were listed, it's an extensive list that starts with Enoch, who, if we think about it, lived a perfect life. In Noah, Abraham and Sarah, who were faithful in raising Isaac, and Isaac himself and Jacob, Moses, Joseph, all of these great men of faith. If we read down to verse 32, where Paul was writing his letter here, and because of the lack of time that he had, mentions, "What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Japheth, of David, Samuel, and of the prophets." Samson was listed with quite a number of great men. Quite a number of great men. Excuse me. And to be part of that hall of faith, Samson is one important story that we really need to reflect in our lives. Not probably the whole story, but when Samson was finally, as the story continued, Delilah finally was able to entice that information out from him. Why didn't he learn after the third enticement? Why did he not learn after the fourth enticement? He finally crumbled. He finally gave in to Delilah and told of his strength, where his strength had come from. And that just opened the door for Delilah, and she had called a co-conspirator when he was asleep to take a razor to his head and cut off his 7 braids of hair. He became weak. He ended up being subdued and became a prisoner of the Philistine army. And rather than killing him, what they did was they gouged out his eyes. I don't know if any of you have ever had something in your eye that has bothered you, that you want to get it out, but I can't even imagine the fact that they gouged out his eyes, and he was in prison and as a slave on the grind, on the mill grind for the Philistine army. While he was there in this prison, I want to think that Samson probably saw more than when he did have his eyes. He realized the dependence or his lack of dependence on God and prayed probably more fervently than he ever had in his whole life. While in prison, he probably thought, what if, himself, probably every day. What if I had just listened to the Lord? What if I had just kept my vows that the Lord had given me from birth? How much more could God have used me in his ministry, in his work to spread the gospel about him? How many times do we feel, while Samson was in prison, he probably also felt as if he was a failure. And he probably thought, it's way too late to turn back to God. He was thinking, probably a lot of different things like that. We're not sure what he was thinking, but I can imagine that having the gift of God given to you and then having it let slip away right through your fingers because of the what-ifs that you had taken part in. At the end of his life, well, this going back to the story of the young man who walked away from college, today he's trying to serve the Lord as best he can in the way that the Lord can use him. The what-if is what we can ask each of us in our lives. And more so, maybe we should look and not look at the what-ifs, but we can look now and say, what can I do now in the future? And accept the fact that we need to depend on the Lord every day. As I was studying this this sermon this week, which this is a first for me, I respect our pastors so much more. And if you want to get that respect and earn it, I mean, have that respect for our pastors. Open up the Bible and try to prepare a sermon yourself to get up here and share with your family, your congregational family. It's not an easy task. And at this time, at the end of Samson's life, blinded and humble, in that prison, Samson finally realized his utter dependence on God. Amazing grace. Once was blind, but now could see. No matter how far you have fallen away from God, no matter how big you have failed, it is never too late to humble yourself and turn over your dependence upon God. Ultimately, through Samson's sacrificial death, Samson turned his miserable life, his miserable mistakes, into victory. Each one of us can do the same as Samson. We've all made mistakes. We've all possibly, and we have, asked, what if in our life? Let's turn that around and use, let Samson's example persuade you and us that it's never too late to rekindle that dependence and realize that dependence on God and come to Him so that we can carry on what He has planned for each one of us. And He does have a plan for each one of us to share His love, to share His gospel. And technically, that's why we're all here, so that we can learn and to rekindle that dependence on God every Sabbath as we come to church, so that we can finish the work that we need to here on this earth, so that one day we can be worshiping in heaven together. Let that be our prayer this morning, that we from this day forward, Lord, what can I do for you today? And that I'm glad I followed you from today forward and not ask that question, what if, through our lives. As this morning, there's a new crop of leaders in this church as of today. I urge each and every one of the department leaders to take that to heart so that this year, in the departments that we serve, that we share God's love, that we share the gospel, and also amongst ourselves so that we may be able to learn and take it outside of these walls and share it with those who we come across every day, at work, at play, and just off the street, whoever we come in contact, so that the Lord can come soon and that we can take part in our heavenly sanctuary and our heavenly church service, and that we would be able to be with Him soon. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for every person in this sanctuary, Lord. We've come here for a reason. We've come here to seek you. We've come to learn more about you, but yet more so, Lord, we've come to accept and know that our dependence needs to come from you. We need to depend on you, Lord, for everything. Help us to learn that. Help us to live that and help us to share your love with those around us in everything that we do. This Sabbath day, Lord, we thank you for being here, worshiping with us, because you have said when two or more are gathered that you are here with us, so we believe that you are here with us. We ask now, Lord, that as the Sabbath day continues, that the things that we say, the things that we do, may be all to your honor and glory, and that we will all be with you, Lord, when you come to take us home on that day, on that special day, and hopefully that it will be soon, Lord. These things we pray, Lord, in your precious and holy name. Amen.